Welcome once again to our Sunday morning sunrise support group call, where it's always a safe space filled with love and compassion. I'm really delighted to see all of you here this morning with our dear friend, Dr. Linda McGee, who's back with us. But before we get started, I need to pause for a moment and say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. I need that this morning. This morning we are welcoming back Dr. Linda McGee, who has been on a short hiatus. We haven't seen her beautiful face for a couple of months now. And for anyone that might be new, she is a clinical psychologist, attorney, mental health expert, speaker, and friend. She's been featured everywhere: the Washington Post, Forbes, New York Times, Huffington Post, Grown and Flown, on and on and on, as well as BET's America in Black Mental Health Special. She specializes in COVID-19, racial trauma, mass protests, and more. She's author of a chapter in a book on bipolar disorder. And she does multicultural assessment and testing, like she did my kids back in the day. She has been on the clinical faculty at the Washington School of Psychiatry and a former adjunct professor at George Washington University. And I think you're back to doing that now,
Yes, I'm
actually.
currently,
Yes,
yes.
currently an adjunct professor at George Washington University. I could go on and on and on and on, but Dr. McGee was here at the very beginning, almost 5 years ago, which I can't even believe it. I guess 4.5 years ago.
Right. I think we did a show on spotting anxiety and depression in teenagers.
Yes,
That was our first show.
back in 2020. Yep, February
Yes.
2020. So thank you for being here all these years and for agreeing to host this Sunday morning session, which is really an open session. It's open for people to share, for people to ask questions, for people who might want to get something off their chest, who may have a challenge they're dealing with in real time with their child or a loved one. And it's an opportunity to be in a safe space and share and talk to Dr. Linda. It's like having free therapy on the Sunday morning with a friend. And a loved one who we trust. So, to get us started, Dr. Linda, I know you've been gone for a few months, maybe, and want to just know how you're doing, how you're feeling.
Well, today I'm feeling fine, but I have had a year and I wanted to come back today to talk about it and to do an open session, but to open up a little bit about what has happened and how I've dealt with it. This is an atypical position for me, Kelly, because I'm usually the person on the other side and I usually make a point of not sharing so much. But this year has been pretty traumatic for me. I had a son who had a major car accident in March, and I got that Saturday morning 4 a.m. call, from your child, the call that no one ever wants to get. Where he was run off the road by a truck driver and had a major car accident, and for a day couldn't feel his legs. So that happened in March. Shortly thereafter,
And
I
he's okay.
lost.
He's okay
Yes,
now.
he's fine. He is fine now. He fully recovered. But you understand the 24 hours of terror. Everybody who's a parent on this line, and that should be probably pretty much everybody, understands what that, like I said, that 4 a.m. on Saturday morning call feels like. It's not good, right? When the phone rings. And so then, in the subsequent months, I have lost to my two favorite siblings. I'm one of 12, and one of my oldest brothers, who's near and dear to me, and my son, lost his battle with cancer, in May. And my sister, who was like a daughter to me, really one of my favorite people on the planet, My youngest sister, we were the two youngest girls, courageously fought cancer for a long time and lost that battle on September 3rd. And it is, and I myself, so that was been one, that has been probably the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with in my whole life.
Your sister, wearing your baby.
Yes, and you know, my son and her were siblings, and we used to joke that she was my daughter before I had children. So it's a huge blow. And
Oh, sorry.
you know, Jennifer was an amazing person and courageous woman and funny and kind. And I just remember her and I joking and laughing together. And she was like me, very much into fashion and who was wearing what. And so the last few months, for the last few weeks for me, have been really hard, because everything that I would talk to her about, she's no longer here.
And we talked about
So
even doing your hair as you do your hair.
yes, she would, we would, as I was trying to learn how to do my own hair, I would take pictures and we would do Zooms and she would help me. Or if I, Kelly and I had something public to do and I had two dresses, she would be the one to help me figure out which dress, or if I wanted a dress, she would help me track it down in London or wherever. You know, it is really like missing a part of myself.
I'm so sorry.
And the last thing I want to say is that about what has happened is that I have been facing my own health challenges, and I had to have surgery in July, from which I'm fully recovered. But you know, again, I will say that this has been a year. And so I decided that I was going to prioritize myself and I was going to take a break from things. So I went into a consulting job that I just started on day one and told them I wasn't going to fulfill my obligations. I cut it in half, may yet cut it again, cut it off entirely, depending on how this next couple of months go. I cut way back on my private practice, and I spent a lot of time grieving, letting myself cry. I spent a lot of time, you know, with my spirituality, where I, you know, take time to read my Bible and do everything I need to do to take care of me. And I've been spending a lot of time in my beach place, to be honest with you, on just being. And not taking care of people. So the last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, the thing that I didn't say, Kelly, that I haven't brought up is that, you know, dealing with your family in times like this is often very stressful. And the way people react under these kinds of crises is very stressful, and how they get attached to money and you know, not carrying old struggles into the struggles around the funerals and around paying for stuff and around what they're going to get. And so that has also, and I have, as I said to y'all before, I have a very large family. And so there's never any unity. And so I'm always the one that usually tries to lead people out of this, as, you know, being the executors. But I, this time I'm like not trying to lead people out of this. I'm trying to take care of myself. And so, Kelly, I hope that wasn't a too rambling.
That was beautiful and very heartfelt. And thank you for sharing and being so open, because it has been
Thank you
you.
for the commenters who left their condolences. They my friends, my family, work colleagues have been a huge source of support for me. And so all the texts and the emails and the sending of soup and, you know, all of that stuff, to be, has meant the world to me. And so I thank each and every one of you for your sentiments. And but I didn't want to open the show. Kelly and I talked about it. We didn't want to open the show on an open session unless we explained why I was gone.
Yes. And you said, let me be open first, which I appreciate. Yes, that's appreciated. And
And
and you're
so
always the one listening. You're always the one listening. And you're,
yes.
you know, always the therapist. Which
Yes. Yeah,
sometimes
so and one last thing I wanted to share is that I and thank you for saying that I needed a selfish season. I love that. I'm going to use that. I want to tell the person on the comment line without calling out their names. I hope you don't mind if I use that in my talks, right? A selfish season is a good thing.
Yes.
But today I'm in an Airbnb in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm celebrating my niece's engagement, and y'all, he did it right. Like, he proposed in a beautiful park. He had his everybody fly in from around the country. And last night, that was on Friday, and last night he had a big engagement party for her and an after party. So
Wow, nice.
it is wonderful for me to see like life go on, people
Yes.
fall in love. A man that cares obviously so much for my niece that he would go through all of this problems and troubles to get the
Yeah.
surprise off the ground. So it was really affirming for me. So yes, life does
Oh.
go on, and but it's good to see it go on with some beauty and
Yes.
not just pain.
With some beauty and not just pain. That's it. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I'm wondering if anybody else wants to share or has a question or something on your mind or something you might be dealing with that you'd love to talk about. This is an open forum. There's no topic for the session. It's intended to be an open space for people to share if you choose to. Or not, that's fine too. And if you're dialing in, some people are driving to church and you're on your phone, you can hit star six to come off of mute. Or you can come off on the computer. Welcome to share on camera or not, whatever feels right.
How do you work through the anxiety of being you, of choosing you?
Choosing.
It was hard.
Kelly? Kelly,
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll
yeah.
take
Who
that
have
question
you?
after.
First of all, first and foremost, my sister is amazing. She's the most. I can't ever live up. I can't because she's so awesome and amazing, right? This club, this what we have here, is so amazing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Welcome, Sherry. I love you.
Thank you
I
so
love you
much.
too. I love you so much too.
Thank you. Woo. Y'all, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment. And I appreciate the emotion. And I really want to give people today the opportunity to talk a little bit about like what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Particularly, like I said, the question was, how do you deal with the anxiety of choosing yourself and taking a step back? It's not easy. And
It's
Kelly,
not. You're
yeah.
exactly right.
Right.
It's not easy.
And I,
Kelly, I'm
go ahead.
sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You're
No,
hearing Dr. It's not easy. Yeah, and that's Dr. Linda speaking as well. Dr. Linda McGee is on, Sherry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. When you look at all the people that are depending on you, you look at the contracts you've signed, the speaking engagements you have to turn down. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I need that money. Still have a child in graduate school. But last semester though, everybody knock on wood, please. But also it's just from the perspective of just finally realizing at the age that I am that it's okay for me to take time and process without having to put on front, you know, without having to, you know, like I think I called Kelly one day and, you know, Kelly, I need to tell you everything, you know, through everything and just sobbed. So, you know what? It's okay to lean on your friends. You're the ones who always are taking the cake and taking the call and picking up someone else's kids. So, when you need it and when I needed it, I'm giving myself permission to take it. Take the condolences. Take, like I said, people sent me soup and all kinds of things that are just wonderful, and candles and prayers and books and, you know. It's just wonderful. So,
Can I say
I,
something?
go ahead.
I just want to say something. I am Sherry, my Kelly's sister,
Yes.
and I will never forget when I felt alone, when I felt sad or anything. I would go into her room and I would just like lay down on the floor next to her. That's like my favorite thing ever.
Right.
Her sister. And I will never, but this let me, that made me feel safe and see. Just to lay down on the bed next to you.
Right. And you know, my thought is that people need to be able to take what they need from whom they need when they need it. And as long as the person is willing to give it, I think that's a good idea. So thank you so much, Sherry, for sharing.
Thank you.
Dee has her hand up.
I have a hand up.
Dee?
Yes. Hi. Good morning,
Hi,
everyone.
go ahead.
Good morning. So one thing that we, oh, well, for those that don't know me, my name is Dee Sapp, and I'm the executive director for the Sunrise Project. And something that we have been working on for probably 2 years now is trying to get everyone here together in person. We've spent a great deal of time together on these Sunday morning calls, but we've never actually met and created this the community in person that we've intended to do. So my question for the group, people can either come off mute or put a comment in the chat. How many of you would be interested in getting together over a weekend sometime in December? For us just to meet, talk, and get familiar with one another. Nothing formal just yet. We'll work on more of a retreat or conference next year, but just us getting together and strengthening our bonds. We are considering having this weekend, this informal weekend in Florida, or possibly DC. So if you could put your preference and if you'd be willing to get together, I think the weekend we're looking at is December 7th. So if you could put it in the chat, we'll have it and then we could plan from there. But I think we've been sisters for a few years now and we've not really met or had the chance to eat, to drink, to get to know each other on a personal positive level. So that's where I am, Dr. Linda. I mean, you already know about this from before. So Kelly, feel free to add if you think I left anything out. Thank you. Oh, and the
Absolutely.
Florida location would be Naples. I forgot to leave to mention that.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Kelly?
Yes. Yes, Sherry.
Your beautiful voice. I love you so much. This whole format is amazing. And I feel loved. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, okay?
You're welcome, Sherry. I love you too.
Jules.
Hi. I was thinking how to, I think the getting together would be really nice. I think if not for anything, but just being with others that understand that sometimes it gets better and then it doesn't. And it's been a struggle because, you know, with my child, he was doing really well. Then of course the medication don't, you know, the it becomes manic again, and it's just such a cycle. And so when the other participant wrote, "How do you choose yourself?" I've just recently, you know, my child is in supported housing. You know, I did the call, the 988, and I have to give a shout out that I called 988, and they reacted very, very well. And it was a very positive experience with a plainclothes detective to kind of help when he was going through his phase. And his experience at Shepherd Pratt again was also very positive. So I just wanted to give some shout outs about that. And but then, you know, when they but this is the first time that he decided not to sign permission to allow me or his father to get the to talk to the therapist. And you know, at first that was super hard because typically it would be a us work at it thing. And he's like, you know what, I'm gonna have to handle this, and I want to handle it myself. And of course I'm like, you can't handle this without me. And he's trying, you know. And I didn't know about the supportive housing options, so I thought that that's something else that might be worthy to discuss for others, just because I didn't know about it. And understanding that we've reached the point where he really can't live, you know, with me anymore. It's just not healthy for my mental health and the mental health of others, the constant manic going in and out of it. Sometimes things are good and sometimes things are not. But I just wanted to, you know, I have no answers. I appreciated the mindset of like, nope, I'm just going through some stuff too. And there's no end in mind, but there are things that I could do to continue to support my mental wellness around that. And I thought maybe that would be something to discuss, or even be empathetic with others in, because it took a very long time to get to that point of being able to say, okay, I can monitor, I can, hey, let me help you with your haircut or whatever it is. But at a certain point with adult children, you have to allow them and monitor to do what they can do. But yeah, I just thought I'd put that in this space.
Jules, thanks for sharing and always being willing to keep it real about what's happening with your kids. I think it's safe to say that at this point in time, Sunrise, Kelly personally, a lot of people are in the same boat as you. I have several friends who are in the position where they can no longer house their children, right? Because it is just too, they're either a safety risk to their parents or those who are in the household. You're trying to balance out the needs of one child versus the other. I know someone now really closely who feels very guilty that she's had this home, a home in chaos because of one child and how it has impacted her other child. And she feels very guilty that her child's last 4 years in the household have been chaotic. And she feels like she hasn't protected the non-affected child as much as she could. Before I have Kelly speak, because I definitely think Kelly should speak about this, I want to just say that there are programs out there for kids who, especially if you have finances or even if you don't, that are small group homes that are assisted, basically assisted living for younger people, like the college living experience, the dorm. And then various state-run programs that help with small group living for children that cannot live at home for various reasons, or who want to become independent but haven't, that don't have this resource, internal resources or external resources to make it happen. And sometimes it's a transition, and sometimes they remain in small group housing or supervised living for the remainder of their lives. So Kelly, could you, I'd like for you to speak at this from a personal experience. Anyone who wants more resources about this, you can shoot me an email or leave my contact information on Sunrise, but you can shoot me an email to get resources. Kelly?
Yes, I was thinking about how to answer or how to frame up what was on my mind. I think that was Jules, and I know you're comfortable with sharing your name, so that's why I'm saying it. And similar, and I love what you said. Sometimes things can be going so well, and then they're not. And so that really spoke to me because it's ebbs and flows. It's like speed bumps along the road. It's not always smooth. And when we think we have such great success and we're making strides, and there's, a few steps backwards sometimes. I similarly went through something this summer with Kyle where we agreed as a family that he was not going to go back to school because he was wasting a lot of money. Just a lot of money. And so we agreed that he would work, go back to Denver, but work, well, Boulder, technically. So he worked, but didn't save a penny. Then, fast forward, he needed to come home. So he was here. And at my house and at Keith's house, because we're living in different places now. And I quickly realized he could not live with me, and it just wasn't going to work. And at the same time, he realized also. So I approached it with the question. And the reason was he's still not living with any boundaries and doesn't live by house rules, basic things, just basic things that seem basic to me. Or coming in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have an 8 a.m. meeting, on and on. And it felt like we were back in high school. So I asked him one day, Kyle, do you think it's going well? Do you think we can live together? How does it feel to you? He goes, not good, not good, not good. I said, I agree. I agree. I think we need to think about some options. And having a, to asking him questions versus saying, there's, you can't live here. There's no way you can live with me. Asking him questions opened up a space for that conversation. And he's living back in Denver. He's agreed to see Dr. Haleem Ali, who's amazing, who hosts our Brothers Unfiltered the third Thursday of the month. But he is amazing because he doesn't present like a therapist at all. He presents like a young, like he could be Kyle, an older version of Kyle, is how he presents himself to the young men that he works with and happens to be in Denver. So I have, I'm still paying his rent. I'm not ready to have him be out there, homeless or something else. And so I pay the rent. And one of my good friends, Deborah, said, think about it like paying therapy. I said, that's a great way to think about it because his rent is like a weekly therapy session and he's agreed to go to therapy, even though he's not calling it therapy. I'm not calling it therapy. That's the way I'm thinking about it. He's agreeing to see Dr. Ali. They go to lunch, they go to games, whatever. And in exchange for that, and Dr. Ali won't take a payment because he runs a foundation that's funded by the state of Colorado. But I sent him a donation to his foundation, which covers the fee that I would pay a therapist for Kyle. And it's just, I feel like it was a really tough summer on many levels. And that conversation was a freeing conversation. And it wasn't a difficult, painful conversation like so many of them had been in the past.
No, I really appreciate that. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, financially I'm unable to do so, but basically I was paying his rent, living with some, but it's just when you get to that point where if I could have afforded to do that, I would. Or maybe not. I've thought about that too, because what happens when you don't know what other behavior is going to happen? And that's my only concern. It's kind of like when he is well and medicated, he's one child, and of course when he's not, it's just a scary situation.
Right.
And that's the piece that you're wondering. It's like, man, what will I be responsible for? Or I'm going to be stuck with a, you know, who knows what behaviors that are going to happen. And it's just so remarkably different when these things occur. And I guess I have to also just put out there, you know, he was actually participating with Rick Wallace, and it really, that really, the loss of him has really impacted him, because what ended up happening is, you know, just because therapists go to private practice, he had seen six different therapists in the last 2.5 years, but then got really connected with the Brothers Unfiltered. And so I just didn't know when, well, you know, I can only, what can you do? I mean, life happens. But I can just say that for, at least for my son, that was another loss. Like, you know, I'll never get help. I'll never get better, because he was connecting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else happens. But right now, he's still pretty mad at the world for that loss, just because it was a regular session that, because it was free, he could afford and it was meaningful. So this would put that out there. I'm not sure how many others were at that level of, you know, feeling exasperating and then connecting with Greg.
We have in our community some added challenges. I've had several people tell me that they feel really uncomfortable, even when they know that they should basically ask their child to leave. When you're putting them out as an African American onto a street that is very unfriendly, and that could result in them being harmed by either police or someone else. So there are the added pressures of race and racism and bias and policing our Black men that come into our decision making. When I'm dealing with parents that are struggling to make the decision about what, where their child should be housed, it's often just really, really difficult, because you really just don't know what to do. And I think that it ultimately comes down to the parents making their own decisions. I advise them to keep themselves safe mentally, physically, and psychologically. So when it gets to the point where they no longer are, then they need to really look at their options. Because even if you think about it from one perspective, you're worth it, right? And number two, how can you help a situation if you yourself are unable to deal with day-to-day challenges because you are so mentally fatigued? So I just wanted to add those things in. And also, it's okay to want your child to live somewhere else. It's okay to need a break. It's okay with taking time to make that decision. It's also okay when you make the decision that you're going to pay the rent. and that you're going to house them somewhere else. Someone commented that, you know, they live in New York City and people are experiencing homelessness and are treated cruelly. So there's so many things to sort through when you make this decision. And it's particularly painful. And I'm walking through a lot of clients and friends through this decision-making process right now. And it can't, as a clinician, I often just speak about not the clinical things, but the hard things, you know, and get them to start, the parents to start framing the issues around, is this helping, right? What you're doing helping? Is it harming? What are the dangers in the street? Can they fend for themselves? What are the resources? You know, will the court system help you? And Kelly, I see you nodding. I just wanted to see if you had anything more to say.
Well, I think, you know, Dr. Rick Wallace was is such a huge loss to.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So many
I'm
of
sorry.
Us.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he was incredibly supportive of my family and I know many others. And the Brothers Unfiltered, the feedback was incredible. So I just want to say to that comment, we are still doing it. It will be back this month. It's the third Thursday of the month. And eventually the hope is to have it every week where it would be a free, open, and safe space for Black men. Dr. Haleem Ali has agreed to host it and step in for Dr. Wallace. I think he's phenomenal as well. Very different style, but equally powerful. And I think he has the great ability to connect with young men and men in general. So he will be back. And he was out of town last month. So we didn't want to introduce somebody, yet another person. So we want to make sure that Dr. Ali can connect and feels good for the audience that comes. So please register again. We're going to be starting that whole process over and making sure we have everybody's correct emails and all that good stuff. So that will be Thursday, October 17th, is it? 17th. Brothers Unfiltered. And then Dr. Vicki Johnson hosts Sisters Unfiltered the night before. So that's the third Wednesday. So that still is available as well for people that don't like to necessarily get up early on Sunday morning, or maybe at church, or I might be on the West Coast. We have a third Wednesday, Sisters Unfiltered, and third Thursday, Brothers Unfiltered. So your son has an opportunity, if he chooses to join that and see how he likes it.
So we're obviously looking for ways to provide more support. You know, this weekend that Dee was speaking about is another way that we're trying to add in support where we can. Someone in the chat mentioned that there are a lot of ebbs and flows with mental health, and that's so true. And the best thing you can do, as she mentioned, is take things day by day, doing the best you can. And the one thing I'm going to add that she didn't mention is to stop beating yourself out about every decision that you make. And I want to just stay with that for a second. Because I hear Kelly, I hear all these parents that are always just beating themselves up, berating themselves and wishing they could have done better. Let me tell y'all something. You are doing the best you can. You are doing the best you can, and you deserve to not be beat up about everything that you choose and everything that is going on. So give yourself a little credit. Give yourself even a little pat on the back and realize that you're in an extraordinary circumstance trying to deal with a mental health issue or an addiction issue with your child and in a world that is not supportive. Dee, you have something else?
Yes, I was going to respond to the caller that mentioned the loss of Dr. Rick. So my son too was meeting regularly with Dr. Rick for probably 3 years. before he passed, and the timing of it was, not that anyone can, they plan when they cross over, but the timing was really devastating for my son, and I was scrambling to find someone that was similarly available with the same level of energy. I mean, for those of you who knew Dr. Rick, you knew that he was just, his availability was probably, and his responsiveness is really what helped. And, I admit I've been struggling trying to find a replacement. And I think as of this past Thursday, I may have found someone, but another reason why we wanted to try to get people together in person is because we realized that not everyone feels comfortable sharing and engaging on this type of platform. But I have learned through this community, when we get together one-on-one, all of us are a plethora of information and resources that may be unconventional. So the person that I found for my son, that I'm hoping will work out, another member in this community mentioned them to me, and it didn't look like what I thought. I said I wanted a male, I wanted this, I wanted that, I wanted this, and I was encouraged to look at it differently and try something different. But without those one-on-one conversations and those connections within this community, I would probably excuse me, still be stuck. So just know, to the other parents here who felt that loss and are still in that limbo space, that there are resources within this community that could probably help. I saw Linda put her information in the chat. Linda's connected to all of these things, not trying to flood your inbox, Miss Linda, and Kelly as well. So, we're here because we work for the Sunrise Project, but we also benefit. We're here because we have loved ones that need support in this space also. Thank you, Dr. Linda.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? I don't want to sound like the minister, but anybody else on here struggling with a heavy heart today? Is anybody else feeling like they're dealing with stuff and it's getting harder? Someone mentioned in the chat that they're doing it all alone. And I want this person to reach out and let's try to access some resources. Kelly, I would like to see if we can, and Dee, if we could talk a little bit about if we have any ideas while people are sort of thinking about what, if they want to speak, what we'll do in our time when we get together. Because I know we talked a lot about people, concrete ideas, and I just wanted to see where we were on that.
The goal is not to have any concrete sit down in the room and, programming, if you will, because we all do 1,000 conferences, at least I do, and I don't want to do another one. The intention would be to have it be very laid back and relaxing, and an opportunity to, what was it, choose self, choose ourselves and have a miniature getaway.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Very easy, laid back.
That's so about just, it. Yeah, just to piggyback on what Kelly's saying, we want to do a full-on retreat or conference sometime next year, where there would be sessions and maybe programming. But this first get together is basically us getting together, getting to know each other. If we need to decompress, it's at the end of the year. And it's just been a year for everyone. And trying to build the community in a way that we can't do on Zoom. So it's very informal. There will be no programming. People can share if they want, they can share or not. Just sometimes being in the same space as other women, as we build this tribe, will be enough. So people can come in Friday, they can come in Saturday, everyone leaves Sunday. You can come and go as you please. No timeline. We can join each other for dinner. We can join each other for breakfast. We can, so again, it's very informal. But next year, we'll try to do something a little more more themed and targeted based on what we gather in person. It's just that this platform doesn't allow for people to share everything that they would like to be discussed. Is that what you asked, Dr. Linda?
Yes, that is what I asked. You know, what would we be doing? And the one thing I also want to say is that even though I think that, you know, there is a place for online, and I actually think it's the wave of the future. I do think that there are things that you miss. And I do think that people are really missing face-to-face contact. So even as we're all struggling with commuting, going back to commuting, because I know that I go someplace once a week and it's killing me right now, and go to George Washington to teach twice a week, and the commutes are killing me. I do like the intimacy, the I can watch facial expressions and shifts better when we're in a room together. And we all need one-on-one face-to-face contact.
There's a hand up as well. Please feel free.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for this platform. I've been attending for last couple of months, and I shared before because my son is ADHD and started using vaping, and we didn't know for a while. We moved from LA to Texas, and that was really probably the worst move for both of my children from a mental health perspective. And it took a while to really understand that, and they're both teenagers. But I wanted to comment on the retreat. I'm a physician, and I have lots of different communities, Jack and Jill, you know, my med school friends, this community, and the other community I have are women physicians who are kind of doing other things in the majority spectrum. Not, you know, they're obviously not all sisters, but they come with different perspectives, but they're also branching out. After you have been in medicine for 20 years, it can be, and the pandemic, it could be pretty daunting, as well as having teenagers that have, you know, issues. So having a retreat with other women that I can really connect with on this level of children and Black children and how they're perceived in the world and how they are, how they go out in the world, I think would be absolutely crucial. And the retreat that I'm in now, again, is for women physicians that have been doing this for a while. I didn't think that I needed it. I didn't think I needed a coach. I didn't think I needed all of these things. And I had a friend who, you know, kept calling. She was like, no, I think you should come. I think it would be good for you. And, you know, every month she was like, are you coming? Can you find coverage? And I was like, okay, yes. All right, I'll find coverage. I'll come out there. And it was like, it's been the best experience ever. And I brought my daughter, and it literally, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you need until you find it. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much. And Doctor, I want to urge you to continue down this path, because as we are speaking, and care for the caregivers is one of the things that I do a lot of writing and speaking about, and going to groups now, particularly of African-American and people of color providers, to really take stock of all the additional stressors that you face being a caregiver of color. And I want you to continue to pursue that. I hope that you're able to join us at some point in time, because it's just so vitally important.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for being here. I had a similar experience at the I Am Woman conference 2 weeks ago, and it was so incredible. And I've gone 9 out of 10 years, and this year was one of the best, if not the best, you know, from the sisterhood perspective, the speaker, everything. So I completely agree.
And the one thing I want to add is, because people are asking for specifics in the comments, all the things that are running through your head, all the things that society has put in you, I can't afford this. My child needs this. I'm not a loving mom if I take this time out for myself. You know, my husband wants to do this. You know, all of the things that we're programmed to prioritize. And if I could just leave us with something today, it would be prioritize you as someone who is worthy of care, separate and apart from everything else. And to take care of yourself. If it's a seminar, if it's that trip you always wanted to take, if it's you need to make some hard decisions. I mean, we had someone on this call a few months ago who really was making a decision to actually litigate with their child, right? These are tough things that no one talks about in church or no one talks about on Facebook. But I want you all to feel like we support you here. We don't judge you here. A lot of us have walked through your footsteps here, and that we love you and want to make your lives apart from your children better.
That's very well said. Thank you, Dr. Linda. Any closing thoughts? We're already at 9:55. This has been really helpful for me, as always.
I want to just highlight one more comment.
Yes.
Going back to this ebb and flow, there was a talk on the chat about how there is the guilt that's created by the decision making and doing retirement and financial planning around the survival and what will happen to your child as you age. And dealing with the fact that you and your spouse were raised different, you have different genetics, and you are going to have different perspectives on it that can create conflict. And so I just want to highlight and respect the fact that it's not just your child's mental health, it's not just your mental health, it's where are you going to live? Are you going to keep that house? What's your child going to do when you're no longer able to chase them down and make sure they're okay? And when you turn to your own aging process and mortality, how are these things going to be handled, and how are they handled within the confines of a marriage? I don't have any solutions here, but I definitely think, Kelly and Dee, that we should look to more programming and more calls about these types of issues in the future. And I'm happy, I'm going to end this before I hand it back to the prayers, is I am happy to be back at Sunrise. Sunrise is a home for me. It's a refuge for me. And I wanted to come back today because it is truly, truly a labor of love.
Thank you. We love you, Dr. Linda. I appreciate you being here and coming back, especially given everything you've gone through. So thank you for being here. All right, Dr. Vicki, we can turn over to you to close us out this morning. More people.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Yes, thank you. Dr. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you.
Please come back. I'll be back again in a month.
Yeah, so happy to have you back with us. God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have given to us, and we choose to rejoice and give you glory. Thank you for the privilege of community, of connection, of caring and being cared for. Thank you for the Sunrise Project and Kelly and Dee and the Sunrise team. We thank you for Dr. Linda, God, for how you have preserved her, for how you have kept her, for how you have given her respite, how you've covered her during her season of grief and mourning. We continue to lift up her spirit, soul, and body to you now. In the name of Jesus, God, continue to give her strength. Continue to give her peace and operate, help her to operate and surrender as she practices self-care and demonstrates for us the tools that she gives us to use. God, make them come alive in her life as well. Bless her son, bless her family as they move through again these stages of loss. And we will give your name all of the glory. Thank you for every parent on this call, every household represented. Thank you for our children, God, because they belong to you. So we thank you for wisdom to be good stewards as parents. God, we thank you for grace and mercy and favor And we thank you for the knowledge and affirmation that we are doing the best we can with what we have. And ultimately, they belong to you. So teach us how to care for them. Teach us how to love them. Teach us how to surrender them ultimately back to you. We give you glory as we go through this day. Keep us safe. Thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. And teach us, God, how to be selfish, how to take care of this body, this mind, this spirit, these emotions that you have entrusted to us to be your light in the earth. And we will continue to give your name glory, honor, and praise. Bless the retreat. Bless the gathering as it comes together. Thank you for favor in the marketplace. Thank you for wisdom and insight for those who might not see a way. God, give them a miracle, because you know all things and you do all things well, and you have perfected already everything that concerns us. So give us courage to walk out what you have already laid out for us. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a powerful day, everyone. See you next Sunday.
Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. And thank you, Dr. Linda. Have an amazing day, everyone.